Our scripture this morning, I will read 1 John 3 from the Message, and then followed by Isaiah 58, 6-4 in the NIV. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who he is or what he's up to. But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God. And that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up? What we know is that when Christ is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him, become like him. All of us who look forward to his coming stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus's life as a model for our own. All who indulge in a sinful life are dangerously lawless, for sin is a major disruption of God's order. Surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There's no sin in him, and sin is not part of his program. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. None of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. They've got him all backward. So, my dear children, don't let anyone divert you from the truth. It's the person who acts right who is right, just as we see it lived out in our righteous Messiah. Those who make a practice of sin are straight from the devil, the pioneer in the practice of sin. The Son of God entered the scene to abolish the devil's ways. People conceived and brought into life by God don't make a practice of sin. How could they? God's seed is deep within them, making them who they are. It's not in the nature of the God-born to practice and parade sin. Here's how you tell the difference between God's children and the devil's children. The one who won't practice righteous ways isn't from God, nor is the one who won't love brother or sister a simple test. For this is the original message we heard. We should love each other. We must not be like Cain, who joined the evil one and then killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because he was deep in the practice of evil, while the acts of his brother were righteous. So don't be surprised, friends, when the world hates you. This has been going on a long time. The way we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for because we're doing what he said. We are doing what pleases him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in his personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command, and we keep his commands. We live deeply and surely in him, and he lives in us. And this is how we experience his deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit he gave us. In Isaiah 58, 6-14. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? It is not to share your food, or is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This morning we are honored to have Sue Orth with us, and this was my first moments of meeting Sue. But she has been working in kind of dispelling the myths around homelessness, and so we look forward to hearing what you have to share with us. Welcome, Sue.
Good morning. I'm always amazed at what God does. You know, I was in the Sunday school class this morning that John was leading, and it just ties in completely with what I'm going to say this morning. And then looking at your call to worship, it's like everything just, I'm just always every day amazed at what God does. I just want to thank you for allowing me to come and speak with you this morning, and for you all for showing up, because I know sometimes when the pastor's gone, people feel they can take a week off a Sunday, but I like to remind them it's not the pastor you come to see, it's God you come to worship. So that's always a good reminder for people. So thanks for being here. I'm honored to be here, and I was really glad when your pastor emailed me and asked if I could come. I'll try not to speak long, but when you're really passionate about something, sometimes I can go overboard. I have somebody going to be doing time like this in the back. You know, I was blessed to be raised by parents that were always serving the Lord. My father just passed away this past February at the great old age of 97. And up until a week before he died, he was, you know, brewing his coffee, reading the newspaper, and always doing his morning devotions. But on his deathbed, when he had a broken hip and a broken pelvis and a broken collarbone because he had fallen, he kept saying to the nurse, "I have to get up. There's people that need help, and I need to do something." And she kept saying, "Harold, you can't get up. You've got some broken bones." But I was grateful for them, because they taught me very early that when we love Jesus and we know Jesus loves us, we serve others. I felt a calling to be a voice for the poor and the homeless many, many years ago. And I've really felt that that's what God calls me to do, is dispel myths, educate people, and to talk about the realities of homelessness and poverty. Today I'm going to share with you some information and stories about poverty and homelessness. And I'll share some facts and some myths, things that aren't true, to help us to understand and to be able to love these people. See if this works. There we go. I'm not going to talk about CVCCS because they deal with food and clothing. And mostly what I am really concerned about is the homelessness issue and housing. So these two organizations, CV Homes of Hope and CV Seeds, are two Christian nonprofits working right here on these issues. CV Homes of Hope works with people that are homeless through transitional housing. CV Seeds is focusing on housing, education, and health. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to you today and cause you to want to do something about these situations. Notice there's a verb in there, do something. Why? Because as followers of Jesus, we are to care and love those in need. John is asking us in the scripture in chapter 3, if someone claims to be changed inwardly, to what extent is that change a reality outwardly? Our behavior should show that something divine has happened within us. The Holy Spirit in us guides us and changes our behavior. Did you know that according to a survey by the Washington Post and the Kaiser Family Institute, Christians are more likely than non-Christians to view poverty as just a result of individual changes, bad behaviors, things that they've done, individual failings. But in this particular survey, Christians felt a lack of effort on the poor person's part was to blame for their poverty. I hope and pray that today you will learn that this is mostly not true. Much homelessness and poverty is brought about by circumstances and other factors. While it is true there are some people that are homeless due to poor or bad choices, it is very important that we do not judge anyone until we know their full story. Sometimes people just don't even have the tools to get out of poverty. That's what I've encountered being a mentor for the Homes of Hope for years. And they just have never been taught. So they don't even know how to make different choices. So they need the tools in order to live better. You know, there are hundreds of passages of scripture that speak about how we are to love and care for those in poverty and to speak out about the injustices. Psalm 82 says, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Proverbs says, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, that's God, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. And in Isaiah, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? And another translation says, share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless into your house. When you see the naked, cover him. And in 1 John, this is how we know what... This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Notice again, verbs. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament state that caring and loving the poor is one of the primary indicators of faith. Doing nothing is simply not an option for a follower of Jesus. When hearing about people in poverty or the homeless, it's always important to find out if something is just a belief or if it's really true. One example of this was during COVID, the Lancaster County Coalition for the Homeless housed homeless people in a hotel. They couldn't be at Water Street or different places because of COVID and separating people. And it was by a shopping center. And the shopping center started to complain that since those people were living there, there was an increase in shoplifting and stealing and panhandling, all this stuff. And fortunately, the Lancaster Coalition was smart enough to say, well, let's compare the police record with the names of all the people living in that hotel, because they had that complete list. And not one single person in that hotel had anything to do with the police. Again, it wasn't true, but it was repeated over and over and over again that people thought it was true just because they heard it. So it's really important to not do that. Research by government groups, nonprofits, and universities have shown that the causes of poverty fall into four different categories. Individual choices are bad behaviors, and I said this was just one of four. Many people believe that poverty is just the result of not working, drug and alcohol use, job loss, bad work ethic, teen pregnancy, lack of skills or education, relationship changes. One person leaves, a spouse leaves, or a partner leaves, someone dies. Domestic violence is the leading cause of homelessness in women. And these can and do result in poverty, but they are only one of four causes. The second cause is community conditions. Underfunded schools, estrangement from family and friends, illnesses, no access to health care, poor transportation, high rent prices and low vacancy rates, which is what we have here in Lancaster, a shortage of affordable housing, and high car repair bills are just a few. Did you know that one out of every 10 homes was foreclosed on since 2008? This causes people looking for rental properties and raises the rent. The third is exploitation. Payday lenders, overdrafts at the bank. I worked with one family that every month, why does this keep doing that? I'm trying not to touch it, but maybe it's my hand waving over it or something. Sorry about that. Exploitation. I had this family I was working with that every month they were paying $400 in bank fees because, you know, once your first one bounces, it's like everyone after that bounces till you put money in. And it was like, you've got to be kidding me. And I mean, and some of these things were like $5, $3, $4, but they were charged for every single one. There are other things like rent-to-own purchase agreements. Some landlords. There's an internet scam that people, oh, here's an apartment, they give money, they get an address and they go there, and it's a field. There isn't even a house or an apartment there. You know, these are ways that people exploit people in poverty that are desperate. Stores on the corner. Sometimes that's your only place to get food and the prices are very high and you have minimal income. Used car dealers. We've been working with people that are paying 35% interest on a car loan, on a used car. Laundromats. If you've gone to a laundromat lately, it's like $6 to do a load of laundry. Check cashing services for a fee. You know, you have to pay for that, but you can get your check cashed. And hotels. This is the one that just gripes me the most. There was a hotel on Lincoln Highway, and it's not even a nice hotel. Last year it was $450 a week that people were paying that were homeless. This year it's $610 a week. And why? Because they can. Because there's no place for people to live. The fourth one is political and economic structures. When there's a recession, we all pay more for heat, gas, food, clothes, healthcare costs, everything. But people that live in poverty, it's a higher percentage of their income to pay for these same things. We have people doing minimum wage jobs. Lots of people working jobs that are 30 hours a week, so they have no benefits, no paid time off. If you're a single parent and your child gets sick and you have to stay home, you don't get paid for it. So these are all ways that these economic structures affect people in poverty. Poverty is one of the most stressful environments to live in. And that stress produces negative health outcomes. Did you ever wonder why Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, and John, the poor you will always have with you? I've pondered this a lot in my life, and I have thought about it, prayed about it, and I've actually heard people say, well, why bother to do anything since Jesus said they're always going to be here? But, you know, I think there's another reason. I think this is one way that God sees how do we live out our faith? How do we love and serve the poor? How do we respond to those in need? How do we share Jesus' love with people who may be estranged from God and not participating in any community of faith? How do we love them? I believe the poor are very important to God, and how we love and serve them is just as important. And I also want to put a little reminder in here that I'm a local and global poverty person. We have a partner congregation in Tanzania that I've been to 3 times. It's in the middle of nowhere with no electric and no running water, and they walk 2 miles to get water. I believe that God calls us to the world, not just here, but local is important. So now we're going to do a couple of questions. One out of how many residents in Lancaster live in poverty? One out of how many? And we'll go through these rather quickly, John, okay? 3.8, okay? That's from the welfare info. Every year, there's a point in time the Lancaster County Coalition does, and a point in time is in January where they actually... I'm not supposed to move around because I didn't want one of those lapel things, so I'll try to remember to stand here so you can hear me. That's when they actually send a bunch of volunteers out to find those that are homeless. And the homeless are those that are in shelters, living in tents, in their cars, parked in the Walmart parking lot, wherever they are. They are not the people that are in the hotels or doubled up with families. They are just the people that are truly homeless. There were 526. An 11% increase from last year. Of those, how many were unsheltered? Now remember, this is January, and these are people living out, either in tents, in their cars, 107. I can't even imagine what that was like. I mean, let that sink in. 107 people living out. I know there's some homeless people that live in the stairwells in certain businesses in the city. And those businesses let them because they know they have a little bit of shelter there. There's a false assumption that homelessness is mostly caused by mental illness or substance abuse. And much research has shown that that is true. There are some. But 2/3 of those that are homeless become homeless as a direct result of renting becoming cost burdened. In other words, so much of their money has to go for their housing that eventually they cannot afford the rent. Housing costs are the clearest cause of how people fall into homelessness in any community. This book, Homelessness is a Housing Problem, is a phenomenal book with researchers that researched homeless from Seattle, Washington, California, Philadelphia, New York City. They've researched the entire country and come up how homelessness is a direct relationship to not having a house to live in or one that you can afford. The Low Income Housing Coalition of Lancaster has stated that Lancaster is already, are you ready for this, 18,000 housing units short, just according to the families that we have now. We are 4,000 units short of affordable housing compared to our neighbors in Berks and York County. So we're really short on housing. And there are other myths that are not true that I want to let you know. Homeless people should just get a job. The answer, 60% of homeless are employed. You know, it's hard to get a job. It's hard to wrap our heads around this if we're not homeless or haven't experienced it. But you don't have an address to put down on your form. Your phone may not have enough minutes to get a call back. You don't have any place to shower or to change your clothes. And you don't even have a place to brush your teeth. I mean, just think about that. Second myth, single moms are the problem. Answer? Only 9% of low-income moms have been single throughout their child's first 5 years. 35% were married or in a relationship with the child's father for that entire time. And this is a result from the CDC. Next one. Go to college and get out of poverty. Answer? 1.1 million people who made less than $25,000 a year worked full-time and were heads of households had a bachelor's degree. Again, a myth that is not true. Next myth, the poor are impoverished for years at a time. The typical pattern, you want to slip this. The typical pattern is to experience poverty for just a year or two. You get above the poverty line for a while. And then sometimes you may experience poverty again, but a lot of people do not. They end up staying above the poverty line. The next myth is that most people living in, poverty live in cities. That is not true. Only 10% of those in poverty live in poor urban neighborhoods. Poverty is everywhere and increasing in small towns and suburbs. Next myth, poverty affects a relatively small number of Americans. 40% of Americans between the ages of 25 and 60 will experience at least 1 year below the poverty line, and that's defined as 23,000 for a family of four. So what is the average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in Lancaster? In 2022, it was $1,148. This year, it's $1,300. If you're lucky to find one at $1,300. How many homeless children were identified at the beginning of the school year in Conestoga Valley? 110. This was in the beginning of the school year. All year long, they discover and find more. It's really hard to quantify how many kids are homeless because if you're doubled up, if you're doing cyber school, these are just the ones that they know about. If you really want to see a number, get on the Lincoln Highway when the bus starts dropping off a lot of kids, and you can see how many homeless children there are in this area. What percent of homeless children have a mental health issue? 40%. The American Institutes for Research found that children that experience homelessness have actual physical changes in their brain that hinder learning, that make it difficult to handle emotions and the building of relationships. We know this is true because we work hand in hand with our school social workers, and the problems that these children have is just unbelievable. Poverty and homelessness definitely affects children. They're worried about their parents. They can be bullied and judged. They cannot afford school trips. They feel insecure and not safe. There's no place to play or do their homework. They may be excluded, conflicted, and embarrassed. They have feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness are very common. We have two organizations. The CV Homes of Hope provides housing for homeless families for 4 to 12 months. It's called transitional housing. It's not a permanent house. While they live there, they pay $315 a month to live there. They work with budget coaches and mentors so that they pay off back debt, increase their credit scores, and learn the tools that they need in order to live a better life. We've been operating since 2006, and we've had 39 families go through the Homes of Hope. Single moms, single dads with custody of their kids, two-parent households, and grandparents with custody of their kids. It's been a whole variety of people that have gone through. You can volunteer to be a budget coach or a mentor. You can help with cleaning or maintenance issues. You can serve on the board. We only meet 6 times a year. It's a great organization working one family at a time. CV Seeds is new. We've only been a nonprofit for a year, although it took us 4 years in the making. We visited every hub in Lancaster County to find best practices, what to avoid, what to do, what not to do, and finally became a nonprofit October of 2022. They focus on housing, education, and health. We just began our third ESL class, English as a Second Language, because that falls under education. Check out their website if you'd like to volunteer. There's still lots of room for volunteers. There are people in this class now from China, Turkey, Bolivia, Brazil, Venezuela, Cuba, Puerto Rico, Ukraine, and Russia. Did you know that there are 40 languages spoken in CV? 40. The kids get English in school, but the parents do not. So the parents end up taking their kids to be interpreters when they go to doctor's appointments, businesses, and this way we are educating the parents. We went to a workshop at King of Prussia on refugees and immigrants and got real confirmation that this is where God is leading us, because the adults need to learn English in order to function as parents and in order to be in this country where they now live. So what can you do? You can help. You can attend township meetings. You're in East Lampeter. I began attending East Lampeter township meetings when I saw the agenda in the paper that said, enforce 30-day hotel stays. We have a lot of families living in hotels in CV. And I went to the meeting because I talked to the principal at Smoketown, and she told me that they have 18 families living in hotels. So I went there because I said, I understand that a hotel is not an ideal place to live, but if you don't have a car, where are they to go? There is no place for them to go. Water Street was full. Shelters were full. So, I mean, this hotel living was the safest place for them. So they tabled that idea. Hasn't been on the agenda yet. But you can go to those meetings, too. I started going. They're long and boring, but it's worth it. You can attend those meetings, and you can encourage elected officials to enact housing-friendly policies. Attend meetings on housing. You can build some. Maybe if you have an apartment that you rent, you can think about doing them at a lower cost for people that are in poverty. Think about asking your officials to make some changes. We are working in East Lampeter, and if you've read the newspaper, you know East Lampeter is ahead of the game in some of the changes that we've made. Anybody that owns a house can build a secondary dwelling on it right now. But we're looking to make some other changes, like to change commercial zoned places into residential places. The C2 and C3s already have buildings built, but a lot of them are empty, and more of them are going to become empty in the future because people shop online. That's why your banks are closing, because people don't use bricks and mortar buildings like I do. I'm of the generation that uses bricks and mortar buildings, but our younger generations don't. So a lot of those are going to be closing in the next couple of years. So let's change the zoning so we can build housing there. I believe in saving farmland. I was raised on a dairy farm in Chester County, 174 acres. It is still in farmland because I believe that's important. So we have other options, but we have to change zoning to do that. I don't mean for this to sound political. I believe this is a Christ-centered message that we need to make some changes to help people. You can get on the mailing list, social media list for CVCs and get updates on what's going on. Check out the website for both nonprofits. Donate your time and money and pray. I always say people can pray. Prayer is always the best thing for the people that live in the homes, for the volunteers that serve them. Volunteer. You know, years and years ago, I read a statement that said, time is the commodity of our time. And it's true. I've had people say that they're so busy, and I'm going like, busy with what? I mean, social media? We were just talking in the Sunday school class. Man, I found I could spend an hour in the morning just flipping through Facebook, and I thought, what did I do in an hour? Like nothing. Absolutely nothing. So now I avoid that. I mean, it's like, that just is not building the kingdom of God, you know, anyway. So it's like, yeah, I like to see pictures of my grandkids and things like that, but there's a limit. So volunteering is very important. I'm almost done. You'll be glad to know. I just want to share one thing that a homeless woman wrote. She had been living in her car for 2 years. She has no siblings, no children, and her parents are both deceased. She truly was someone that was alone. She came by our church and asked for help. She was actually hungry. And I got to tell you, if you go to Burden Hand Restaurant, that's the nicest place to treat homeless people. I gave her a gift card that somebody had given me to give somebody in need. And I said to her, you can get a hot meal with this. And they were so nice to her that they gave her a to-go box every time she came so that she could eat a meal but then get something for later. So I put a plug in for them because they were just so wonderful. And they treated her well. They treated her like she was just a person. She has multiple issues. She's disabled. She wrote this. Last year, I was homeless. I'd been working with social services and met once a week with my caseworker. As the weeks passed, it became very cold. We were expecting a major snowstorm, and the wind chill would be single digits. This was a concern for me since I was living in my car. I met with my caseworker, and as we were meeting, she announced that school was closing early due to the weather, and we could only meet for a few minutes. I asked her, what am I going to do? How will I survive this storm? Her answer was, I don't know. And she left. I had a heart attack during this storm on the first night. Shortly after this, I met Sue. She explained that at their church, they had some money and they could put me in a hotel for a few nights during this storm. I can say that because of this help, this is what she experienced, and these are all things that we take for granted. Being inside, locking a door, being warm, laying down, being clean, eating at a table, turn on the TV or have silence, put on pajamas and slippers. I could stop thinking about survival for a day or two. The good news is that she's now in an apartment. I helped her fill out the applications. Because she was homeless, she moved to the top of the list. And as you can hear from her letter, she is very articulate, and I'm encouraging her to write a book about her experiences being homeless. I think that she can learn to educate a lot of people that deal with these, that people who are homeless or in poverty. I learn every time I sit down with a family. I learn something that I didn't think about before. Christians are expected to do more than feel love. We are commanded to act on it in selfless sacrifice. In John 13, Jesus says, "I am giving you a new command. You must love each other just as I have loved you." Jesus says this right after he has washed the disciples' feet, that we must love with service and sacrifice. It is the mandate of the church to become a community of love who invest in one another and the world because Christ invested in us. To love based on the model of Christ who washed the feet of everyone, including Judas. I'll leave this here.